So I asked Wes what he wanted me to preach on, and that pretty much covers it. So I'm going to share this morning about something else that I think affects all of us. A number of weeks ago, I was listening to a podcast. I listen to a lot of podcasts when I'm driving, one of the ways that I grow and learn. But I heard this guy named Jamie Dickens, and I hadn't heard of him before. And I was like, yeah, you know, maybe I'll give her a go. And just partway through it, all of a sudden, it's like, you know, something happens here in the heart. And you realize, man, this isn't just like some podcast. God's trying to speak to me. And so this morning, I want to share something with you that I shared with our church just a couple of weeks ago. But it still really, really affects my life as well. And hopefully you can benefit from it as well. But before I go too far, do you remember as a kid when you got to jump in the deep end for the first time? The deep end of the pool. If you have kids, maybe you recognize that now. There's like this thing, like you can drown, and yet, no, Dad, we want to go in. We want to go in the deep end. Okay, wear a life jacket. I don't want a life jacket. I just want to jump in the deep end. My kids have all kind of got past that stage now where they get to jump off the big rock at Paca and Bappas. But I remember like my first times jumping in the deep end and how the deep end was just so much better than the shallow end. Just way better. We'd go to Bing Park. Everybody been to Bing Park? Bing Park has that walkway that goes all the way up to that huge tower where you get to jump. And I remember going there for years and thinking, man, I can't wait till I can jump off that big tower. It just looks so fun. And my parents were like, no, you got to learn how to swim before you're allowed to jump off that. Because when you jump, you're in the deep end. And so finally, after I learned how to swim, they let us go. And so I'd walk, and there was always lineup of kids, and I'd walk all the way up to the top, and I'd feel like, man, like 17 stories high. It's not. I looked at the pictures again. It's not really that high. But as a kid, it was like, it's so high. And I'd got all the way to the top. I'm like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. And I got to the edge. I'm like, I'm not going to do this. And I turn around and you walk back past all these littler kids than you, you know, who are all jumping off, and you walk back the walk of shame, and I'm like, I just have to go to the washroom, I'll be right back. And next year I would try again. But finally that moment where we got to the edge, I was like, I'm gonna do this, and jumping off and that whoosh of the air and hitting the water, and be like, you come up and the first thought is like, that was awesome, I can't wait to do it again. And I would spend the rest of my summers at Bing Bark just jumping off that dive board, because the deep end was just always better. Fishing too. The deep end's better when you go fishing. As a kid, I used to fish in the creek, the Oswego Creek, and catch catfish. And that was nothing compared to going up north with this guy. You might recognize him. It's my father-in-law, Dick DeVries. Catching big fish in the deep lakes. I didn't catch that fish. I didn't catch anything quite that big. But as we were fishing up there, he caught this on the first day we were up there. Well, guess where everybody else was fishing every other day after that? In the same spot where he caught that. It's like, man, we all just want to hook the big one. See, the deep end, there's something about the deep end that calls us. We want things to be deeper, including relationships. No one wants shallow relationships unless you watch The Bachelor. That's entertaining to watch, but you don't want to grow old with someone like that. You don't want to be sitting there on your 16th anniversary saying, so, you like stuff? Yeah, I like stuff. You're still hot. Yeah, you're still hot. Okay, we'll talk again next year. We don't want that. We want deep, meaningful conversation that our relationships would be deeper. And so we hate going the opposite way, too. My kids, we just moved across the road from Dick and Liz. And so my kids were like begging us, Dad, we need a pool. We need a pool. I'm like, we need a lawn. We need a bunch of things before we need a pool. But they're so sad. We got to have a pool. So I went to Canadian Tire and I bought the 36-inch kiddie pool. It's 6 inches deep. And I brought it. I set it out. I filled it with water. I said, there you go, kids. You have a pool. Like, Dad, come on. We don't want that kind of pool. We want one like Wes and Angie's pool. I'm like, then let's just go to Wes and Angie's. What? They don't want to go backwards. You know, when you're dating somebody and they say, hey, you know what? We're probably better off as friends. You're like, no, we're not better off as friends. That means there's a problem somewhere. We don't want to go backwards. We want to go deeper in so many areas of our life. And so the challenge this morning is, and maybe you see it coming, what about spiritually? Is there a draw on the inside of you to say, I want to go deeper spiritually? Do we find yourself growing spiritually deeper? Or do you feel sometimes that you just get stuck in the shallows? And the question that really grabbed me as I was listening to this podcast wasn't, have you grown spiritually? Because a lot of us would say, we've grown spiritually. Look at me from like when I first became a Jesus follower till now. But what have you grown spiritually lately? And that was a question that grabbed me, and maybe for you to consider this morning as well. And if you have your Bible, go to Hebrews chapter 5. We're going to get there in a minute. Because throughout the Bible, the Old and New Testament, there's this encouragement to just go deeper in your faith. And there's a desire that God puts in each of us to go deeper. And I think there's a desire in each of us, regardless of who you are, that you would really want your faith to be genuine. You know, maybe you're here this morning and you're a brand new Jesus follower. You just started coming here. You're like, man, I had no idea that church could be like this. I didn't know God was real. I didn't know Jesus loved me, but man, I'll sing that song. I'm yours forever. Why did the singing have to stop? Normally we do 5 songs. Why do we only do 4? Because the guest speaker's really long-winded. But I just want more. I just want more. And maybe you're here this morning and that's you. I love that. And we'll just stir up that desire to go deeper. Maybe you're here and you've been a Christian for a long time. You say, I've been a Jesus follower for a long time. And maybe you feel like it kind of hit that plateau. It's become a little bit routine-y. I know what service I'm going to. I know how it's supposed to go. I didn't realize there's going to be a guest speaker this week. Next week, we'll get back to normal. Whatever it is, but you have this kind of routine-y feel. And today I would just encourage and challenge you that maybe there's that desire on the inside, like, no, I still want more. No matter how much I've had, I still want more. Maybe you're here and you're not a Jesus follower. Maybe someone told you they give free snacks at that church if you go. And so you're like, you're here. Or maybe someone said, I'll take you out for breakfast if you just come to church with me. Regardless of why you're here, I think if you're honest with yourself, and maybe you're not sure about God and all of that, but if you'd sit down and have an honest conversation with yourself, you'd say, if there is a God, I would want that to be real. I would want that to be genuine. I don't think that I just want to believe in like some fairy tale. If he was real, if he is as you describe, yeah, I think maybe I would like to get to know him a little bit more. The only thing message or people that this message would not be for this morning is for those of you who feel like, no, I'm just a happy camper in my Christianity. I'm just good. I don't need any change. My hope for you this morning, though, is that it would stir up a little bit of desire to say, what could be? So Paul, well, actually, it's not Paul. We think Paul wrote the letter to Hebrews. I think Paul wrote the letter to Hebrews simply because there's similar things he says to other churches. But someone wrote this letter to Hebrews and spells it out real clearly that there's an encouragement for us to go deeper and leave the shallows when it comes to our spiritual life. So here's what the writer writes to the Hebrews, and it's amazing that we have it in our language, but here's what he says. He says, There's much more that we would like to say about this. And what is he talking about? He's talking about who Jesus is and that Jesus is our high priest, that he goes before the Father in our place, that we have a perfect high priest. And he's explaining, man, this is what it's like to live in relationship with Jesus. He's like, there's so much more I want to tell you about this, but I can't. I can't. It's difficult to explain. And he says, why? Because you're spiritually dull. And he says, and you don't seem to listen. I was like, that's not a real glowing review. You know, you get a letter, you're like, whoa, I'm going to read this letter, and they say things like this. You know, there's so much more I want to tell you, but I can't because you're kind of sluggish, and, you know, you're spiritually dull. That word, it just simply means sluggish, kind of like slow going. It's like you need like a shot of coffee for your spiritual life. He says to this in verse 12, he says, you've been believers for so long now. He says, you've been following Jesus for so long. He says, you ought to be teaching others, but instead you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. He says, my hope is that you would be able to teach other people, but I still feel like you just need to be taught the same things over and over. Then he says this, you're like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. We think of babies. You know, we think of babies, we think, man, they're like a baby drinking a bottle. We think, like, that is so cute. You know, like, I think I could just leave that up there for a long time and you would just smile and look like that. That just is awesome. Awesome. But the writer of Hebrews is saying, you know, that's normal. When we see a baby drinking a bottle, we kind of expect that. But this morning, what if I was to come here this morning and say, all right, you know what? Got a bottle here for you. Madhouse, come on, sit on my lap here, buddy. I have something for you. Come on. We're going to, no, he's like, Matt, he's like, oh, I shouldn't have sat at the front, right? Like, I don't want to, you guys actually don't want this to happen either. I can see you're like, is he really going to do this? Like, this is going to be a little awkward, right? Like, Matt's sweating for sure. I'm a little sweaty too, because you're like, there's something wrong about that picture. Even though it's not happening, you can picture it in your mind. You're like, there is definitely something wrong with the picture. Would we agree? See, sometimes we read the Bible so fast that we miss the fact that this is what the writer to Hebrews is trying to imply with them. He's like, You guys are like adults who are need a bottle to drink. He's like, that's not right. There's something really awkward about that. If that should feel like a problem to you. He says, babies drinking bottles, that's normal, but we're not meant to stay there. And there's this encouragement in those words and this drawing to go deeper in their faith. If that letter was written to me, like if I had received that letter, nearly 2,000 years ago and I read that, I'm like, wow, this is what this guy's saying about me. I would not let that letter see the light of day. I would like burn it, hide it, whatever. But they translated it into thousands of languages and sent it all over the world. Why? Because I don't think it's just for them. I think it can happen to each and every one of us, including myself, that there's those moments where we're just like, yeah, you know what, maybe it's just easier. We're not meant to stay in the spot of just being bottle fed. And there's the encouragement to continue to go deeper. But I think sometimes there's things that we do that actually hinders us from growing deeper. There's things that we don't do that actually hinders us from jumping into the deep end. What if it's something that we're all doing? We don't even realize it. It's just something we do because it's cultural for us. Could there be something hindering it? See, this morning, this message won't fix it for you. It won't change it. Maybe you're like, oh, I'll listen to a whole series on it. That won't change it. A song that we sing, that won't change it. Maybe you're like, oh, it's that song that does it for me. But it won't do it for you. He's saying to them, I'd love for you to be teaching others by now. And maybe the thought is, wait, whoa, slow down. I thought that was your job. That's why we come here. So Wes can teach us and Wes can help us grow deeper in our faith. That's a pastor's job. If he doesn't, what are we paying him for? He's there to help me to do this for me. And I almost picture this spring I sat there, I was sitting on my porch, I saw some baby birds. They looked like these baby birds. This is not the baby birds. I know you're like, oh, so sweet. Do you notice something about them though? They sit there with their eyes closed, their mouths open. Feed me, feed me. I remember as a little boy, I would just feed them. Like worms, pebbles, sticks, whatever. I know, all the women are like, oh, terrible. And the boys are like, yeah, I remember that, yeah. Little boys do crazy things, but they have no idea what they're getting. Not when I'm the mom. The writer of Hebrews is saying, like, you're not meant to be like this. He says you're missing out on a vital truth if you just feel like this is the thing. You go to Sunday, close my eyes, trust Wes, whatever he's saying, just feed me, or listen to a podcast, feed me. He says, you're actually meant to grow deeper yourself. You are meant to grow spiritually just like you grow physically. And I just want to challenge you with this, because the words of Jesus, when Jesus planted the church and he started the church, he wasn't thinking a building, he wasn't thinking a service, he was thinking this group of people, a gathering of people. Here's what he said to Peter, Matthew 16, verse 18. He says, Jesus said to him, I say that your name is, that you are Peter. It means rock, and he says, upon this rock, which it's a different word, but that's not the point today. He says, I'm going to build my church. When he says build, that word build actually means grow. He says, I'm going to grow this gathering of people. I'm going to grow them in wisdom, in love, in grace, in virtue, in holiness, in blessedness. These people are going to look different than they did when I first saw them. And I'm going to grow this gathering of people, this thing called the church. And he says, and the powers of hell will not conquer it. What does he mean by that? He's like, it actually is the gates of hell will not stand or will not have power to stand against it. He says, the church, this gathering of people, they're going to do something really, really great. That was Jesus' idea, his thought in his head. These people, they're going to do something that has eternal value, eternal consequence. He's like, they're going to go right to the gates of hell. I was going to go to that door. I guess that's the gate to kids ministry, not the hell. But he says, I'm going to go right to the gates of hell. He says, where there's people, lost people without hope, whose eternal destiny is hanging in the balance, I got a plan for them. It's this gathering of people called the church. They're going to go. They're going to rescue them right from the gates of hell because they're going to grow. They're going to be incredible warriors for my kingdom. When I hear that, I think about Jesus describing it to Peter. I have two pictures for you this morning. What do you think he was describing? When he described the church, what do you think he described? Do you think it looked like this? They're going to go get them in 20 to 30 years. Or was it more like this? Man, people prepared. They know the word. They know the truth. They know their Savior. They know the gospel. And they know why they're here. and they're headed out to make a difference wherever they live. He's saying, you know what, if you get stuck just taking the bottle, he says, you're never going to get to the spot of being a warrior. He says this in verse 13, for someone who lives on milk, they're still an infant. They don't know how to do what's right. Solid foods for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. We don't know who the author of Hebrews is, but we know that they were inspired by God himself. So we know that it's God who's really the one speaking these words. And he's not angry at anybody. Good thing. He says, I just don't want you to stay a baby. I don't want you to have that awkward feeling where someone says, hey, you know, come on, sit on my lap, have a bottle. I want you to grow. I want you to be mature. I want you to grow deeper in your faith so that you can teach others. And the way you get there is by training, by training, by training yourself. Part of the reason that many don't grow deeper, it's just easier not to. It's just so easy to show up on a Sunday and say, feed me. It's just easier. It's easier. You know, there's no shortage of good sermons out there. There's no shortage of good podcasts. There's no shortage of good songs. But none of those will cause you to grow deeper in your faith. What actually happens, you tend to come to a place where you end up with a secondhand faith. It's someone else's faith that you're just like, ah, okay, this is what they think about that. We don't like secondhand relationships. You know, maybe, do you remember when you were in grade school? You know, your first crush, you see that girl in your class, the guy in your class, like, oh man, you're telling your buddies, oh, I think she's cute. And then one of your buddies like, I'll go talk to her. So he goes and talks to her, like, hey, he thinks you're cute. And she's like, oh, I think he's kind of nice. Okay, I'll tell him. She goes, hey, she thinks you're kind of nice. Oh, really? Sweet. Tell her I'm going to be at the playground at noon. All right, he's going to be in the playground at noon. She's like, okay, I'll be at the jungle gym. Okay, she's going to be at the jungle gym. And then you go out at noon, and you out at the jungle gym, you look over, and you're like, oh, she's on the playground. You kind of like wave, and then you're like, don't talk to her. None of you did that? Okay, I'm coming up with a different illustration for the next message. But here they are, in relationship and never speaking to one another. It's Wes, when we were chatting about this, he's like, he remembers, like, it's like ABC gum. My brothers, we had a baseball diamond behind our house when we lived in Dunville, and they'd go out to the benches where the players would sit, and they'd look under the benches after the games to find the gum. Because we weren't allowed to chew gum as kids. I don't know why. But they would find gum, and they would scrape it off the things, and they would be chewing this gum. I know. It's, yes, that's what we hoped. They would always look for the purple, because the grape flavor actually holds its flavor the longest. But we're like, what? No adult would go and do that. No adult would go like, oh man, I'm sweet. I don't have to buy gum this week. And that's the same thing when we have these messages that are just from someone else to someone else. It's not that they're gross. It's just that they're not as effective. We can hear messages, but stats tell us that people only remember a small percentage just half an hour after the message is over. With my luck, you'll just remember the gum and be like, sweet, went home, learned about gum at church today. Kids, don't do that. Husband, don't do that, right? Whatever it might be, but you may not remember too much. And that's what happens, because as a speaker, every once in a while, people will come up and say to you, oh, that was such a good sermon. Oh, that was so great. And I'll be like, okay, what part? It was so great. I was moved. I'm like, okay, how are you moved? It was just so good to be there. See, here your pastor's a phenomenal speaker. He's a great teacher. And you can get caught in that mode where it's like, oh, it was awesome. It was awesome. And you think, I'm growing deeper because I feel like it's awesome. But there's something more. There's something more to it. Like if I were to ask you, hey, you know, what did Wes preach on last week or the week before? He's like, Jesus? Romans! You can say that for the rest of the year and for a whole year, right? The answer is always Jesus in Romans. But what's the deeper? What's happened? You know, a lot of times we don't remember the things we've heard. And that's why I think pastors, you think, oh, they only work one day on Sunday. We really only work for about 3 minutes of effective work in a week. Because that's about all that people will remember. But Holy Spirit's much bigger. And he's working and tying those 3 minutes into things that could change your life. Because you know what you do remember? You remember the things that you experienced, and you remember the things that you learned yourself. You never forget those things. You have different moments. I know them for myself. When I was a kid, I heard the things, Jesus loves you. My parents always told me, Mark, God loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. And I knew it up here, but I didn't know it. I didn't know it. As a teenager, you know, kids, all through grade school, kids would pick on me. They'd make fun of me. They'd be like, your name's Underweird, and you know what, whatever else, right? And they're like, you have freckles because you stood behind a screen and people threw manure at you. That's what those are. And they'd make fun of me, and I'd go home crying. I'd go into school crying. My teacher was like, Mark, if you keep coming in every recess like this, you're going to grow up and be a burden on society. And I was like, man, if that's my future, I don't think I want to grow up. I struggled with suicidal thoughts when I was 15 years old as a result of all these things. But God loves you, Mark. God loves you, Mark. God loves you, Mark. But I didn't know it. I knew it here. I didn't know it here. It's a huge difference when all of a sudden you know it here. I was working in a greenhouse. I was 17. I was thinking about, you know, does God love me? Am I a mistake? Whatever. And all of a sudden, his words just hit my heart. Mark, I loved you enough to die for you. I didn't die just for the world. I died for you because I love you. Man, the goosebumps come back in this moment for me as I remember right in the middle of that greenhouse aisle, I just fell on my knees. I was like, God, I believe it. I trust it. I don't understand it all, but I trust that with my whole heart. My life changed drastically after that. I remember the first time I had to preach. My youth pastor was like, we think you can preach. I'm like, I don't think so. I was like 16 years old. They're like, we want you to try. I'm like, I don't want to try. And so they said, well, we'd love for you to think about it. I was like, okay, maybe I'll try. And so I went. I was like, man, I'm terrified. Like, I don't talk to people, let alone talk to people, you know, from the front. So I was like, okay, I know what I'm going to do. I'm so scared. I'm just going to preach on being free from fear. That'll help. I got up there, had my notes, and I was ready. And all of a sudden, I was like, hello? And this eye just started running. And I was like, oh no, that's in front of your youth group. This is like social whatever. You're in trouble. And all of a sudden, like, oh, I'm tearing up. And then all of a sudden, the other eye feels sorry for this eye. And so it starts going twice as fast. And then my nose kicks in and the snot's running down. I'm like, I'm talking. There's bubbles coming out front. It was like, it's brutal. Brutal. I was like, you don't have to be afraid. Jesus says, you have to be afraid. Amen. Yeah, that was my first sermon. And I always encourage people later, like, you know, try it because you'll never have it as bad as an experience as I had. I promise you, no one ever has. Who would like to try this morning? But, you know, I think about those verses. I was like, man, you know, those verses, God's not giving me a spirit of fear. He's giving me the spirit of his spirit of love, of power, sound mind. I knew them on paper, but they didn't take that night. But later on they did because I just wanted to be deeper. I just wanted to know that that truth was for me, that I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to live in fear, bondage to fear. And guess what? One day it did take. And I didn't know that God would have this in store for me someday, but I think this is part of his plan. And I never can take credit for the fact that anybody learns anything when I speak because he did it all in my life. This is not something I ever decided to try or do. And you know what? Man, God can do something incredible through your life to reach other people. But the thing is, I think about those stories. Those are both from when I was like 15, 16. And the challenge is, God, you know, Mark, how have you grown lately? What's happened in the last year? Are you happening to sit on a plateau? And I get there often. So this morning, I just simply wanted to challenge you with one small thought. Challenge you, challenge me. Spoke with Wes about that. And really today is not like, hey, this is what I'm telling you to do. I'm simply asking this. If today, as you've been sitting here listening, something in your heart goes, you know what? Yeah, I want to go deeper. Yeah, wherever I'm at, I'm not comparing myself with anyone else, but I do want to go deeper. My encouragement and challenge for you today would be, would you take one step in that direction? Would you move away from the bottle and say, you know what, I'm going to pick up a fork. I'm going to pick up a fork. In every healthy child's life, there comes a time where they learn to pick up the fork and begin to eat for themselves. When Wes came to our church, I love how he challenged us to memorize, and I believe he probably challenges you to memorize scripture all the time. I think that maybe is step two, because for some, they need step one, which is just, would you just read scripture for yourself? Would you just read the word for yourself? I'm amazed. Like, we do pre-marriage counseling classes, and I have people come in, and I ask them these questions on a sheet. You know, are you a Christian? And they'll all say yes, or most of them will say yes, because a lot of them come from our church or from churches' backgrounds. And then they say yes. And then the next question is, do you read the Bible? 95% of them say, nope. Yes, I'm a Christian, but no, I don't read the Bible for myself. Like, that is hilariously disappointing. Because the draw is that we would grow deeper. And many of you, I know you read it for yourself. And to you, I encourage you, man, just to continue on in that, to continue to grow deeper, to feed yourself. But as Wes and I were talking about it, at Kingsway, I mentioned this 2 weeks ago, and I said, you know what, would you just take 21 days? 21 days saying, you know what, God, I'll give you 21 days to just grow a little deeper. And it takes, I think, 21 days to start a habit. Maybe it's a little bit more. But to challenge them, challenge Kingsway to just read through the 21 chapters of John with us. Just one chapter a day. Just to read through it yourself 21 days in a row. And Wes was like, you know what, I think that would work for us. And so he said, too, he would like to do the same thing with you. So if you'd like to just say, you know what, yeah, I'm going to give 21 days to growing deeper. I'm just going to read scripture for myself. We'd love for you to join. And so there's a number here. If you didn't have Wes's number, now you do. If you would just text him the word John, just say, yeah, I'm in. You can do it right now if you'd like. You're allowed to have your phones out in church. Yes, I would like to join you in doing this. It's so easy to get busy. We have 4 kids, just built a house, still building it. There's so much left to do on it. It's so easy to get busy. Even in my job, you're like, aren't you paid to do that? There's that spot of still saying, God, I just want to grow deeper with you myself, to move from the bottle to the fork. And I just want to encourage you and challenge you with this thought, to do it this way. We call it SOAP. I didn't come up with this, just thought it's super clever and it makes a lot of sense. To read the Bible with this SOAP acronym. SOAP simply stands for this, scripture, where you're just gonna, tomorrow, as you get John chapter 1, you're just gonna simply read through John chapter 1. Then O stands for observe, where you're just, as you're reading, it's not just, oh man, I'll see how fast I can read and get it done. Hopefully it does something. But to sit there and say, God, what are you trying to say to me? As I read through and just maybe slow down a little bit and say, God, what does that mean for me? And then third is A, apply it. What am I going to do with what I just learned? Because we're so used to saying, oh, I don't have to do anything with what I just learned as long as I showed up. What can I do with what I'm learning? And the last thing is pray. Simply, God, I just want to grow deeper with you. I don't know how to do this. I'm like, do I doggy paddle? Do I tread? How do I keep my head above the water in the deep end? I don't know, God, would you lead me? Do you know in those moments where you hear his voice? I've been fascinated. We had 41 people join us every morning reading John. And they'll text me back and say, Mark, I just never saw this before, but I saw it for myself. Man, you know when they see it for themselves and someone at work says, hey, you know, you're a Christian, what does that mean? Their response will no longer be, call my pastor, here's his number. It'll be, I know what that means. I know what that means. I know John wrote his gospel saying, I wrote these things so that you might believe, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. I have life in his name, and you might have it as well. And the church begins to permeate our culture with the living truth. So that's it this morning. That's it. Next year, if Wes invites me back, you will be 1 year older. So will I. But will we be 1 year deeper? See, we grow older without having to do anything. But will we grow deeper? Will we grow deeper? See, so often when we just take in, we're like, we're hoping we're growing deeper and wider, but a lot of times we just end up growing wider. We're not actually growing deeper. So my challenge for you is this. Would you read John 1 to 21 with us? You'll be joining a church in your county down the road doing it. You'll be joining your pastor as he does it. And ultimately, you're just joining your Heavenly Father as you begin to feed yourself on his word. The challenge is yours. The deep end's calling. We take a step in that direction.